We are talking with the multi-talented stage and screen star Lucy Arnaz, back on Broadway and earning rave reviews for her limited engagement performance in the Tony Award-winning Pippin. But she's been multitasking, too, because she's also done some directing on something else while here in New York. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, it is truly an honor to speak with you, Lucy. You are Bertha in Pippin, and I saw the show last night, and you were fabulous. We were all in the audience laughing and singing along.
Thank you. I'm loving this part beyond anything I can tell you. It is absolute. As I said in the bio in the program, it's a gift I'm giving myself.
For those who don't know, tell us about that character, how long you've been playing her, and how is this perfect role? How did it come along for you?
Well, I haven't been playing her very long. I'm in the first national company of Pippin, and I went into rehearsal with them in late July, the last week in July, and we had 4 weeks of rehearsal. We teched in Denver and opened for 2 weeks in Denver, and then I played 2 weeks in San Francisco. So really only played the show 4 weeks, and then the producers asked me to pop in and do the Broadway company for 4 weeks, while Andrea Martin, who originated this role last year and won the Tony for it, wanted to go and play Los Angeles, so I thought that was a pretty fair exchange. So I went into the Broadway company for 4 weeks, which will be another 2 weeks, counting this week and next week, just, you know, to have some fun here in New York and let my friends in New York see it, which is kind of great.
Super.
And the other second part of the question about, you know, what it means to me or this part, you know, when I saw it on Broadway, The show is remarkable. It's astounding. Every minute there's a jaw-dropping something going on stage. But then it kind of focuses at this one point when the quote-unquote grandmother of Pippin comes out and does her little scene about taking the moment in life and living in the now, be here now. And it's something I kind of live by. I try really hard to live by. And she has, I think, one of the best lyrics in the show that she says to Pippin about, you know, because winter turns to fall in just no time at all. And then, unlike the original production, where the lovely Irene Ryan was whisked off stage at the end of the song, there is a sort of surprise acrobatics thing that happens in
yes.
the middle. And I never expected at this late age in life.
And you were amazing in that.
Thank you. Be asking my body, you know, to learn new tricks like that. But I did, and, you know, it's put me in the best shape of my life, and it's something that I have really appreciated the fact that I've learned how to do. I mean, I'm more proud of this probably than any other role in many ways that I've played, because it's the kind of thing you take a challenge and you say, I don't know if I can do that. So, well, let me try.
And you did it.
Tap dancing with Tommy Toon in my one and only. You know, that was a big dance show, and I wasn't somebody I considered a trained tap dancer, but, you know, I just put my head to it, and I thought, I'm going to learn this. And when I did, I was proud in a different kind of way than you usually are of your dramatic acting moments. And so I'm loving every minute of it.
And now there's a new person taking over as your grandson, Pippin, the winner of
yes.
The Voice, right?
Josh Kaufman will be playing Pippin starting to Friday night, but he goes on Halloween. We can just pretend to be Pippin. And then the next night not be Pippin. No, he's going in on Halloween. I'm not sure when this will air, our little talk this morning, but for those who might be buying their tickets to come see me, I'm telling you the truth. I am not going to be in the show tomorrow night through the weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm not in Pippin because about a year ago, I planned a big deal birthday party for my husband, Larry Luckinbill, who happens to be, believe it or not, turning 80 this year.
Oh, what? Nice.
and it's been planned for a long time. So even when I was asked to be in Pippin, I said, well, there's a whole family weekend that's happening, and wherever I am, I have to be home. So I'm coming back next Tuesday. Today will be my last performance this week, these two shows today. And then I come back on the 4th through the 9th, and then that's my last week in New York before I rejoin national tour in Costa Mesa, California.
Understandable and admirable. Earlier,
but I'm going to be playing Connecticut the beginning of January, I think around the 4th of January through the 11th. We play the Bushnell in Hartford, Connecticut, so that'll be fun.
I mentioned multitasking, and that you were doing.
Yeah.
Some directing, right, in October. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. Hazel. There's a musical version of the comic strip by Ted Key, Hazel, and subsequently the 60s hit television series starring Shirley Booth, which is a show I used to love to watch, Lovable Maid. And I love the subtitle of this, Hazel, a musical maid in America, a musical maid in America. And it was written by three people that I have long adored their work. Ron Abel as a composer, Chuck Steffens lyrics, and Liz Levin is the book writer. And the thing about all the new Broadway musicals that come out is sometimes there's good music, but there's almost never a really good book. So hard to find a good book for a musical. I don't know why that is, but it is. And Lisa has written a very intelligent, witty book about Hazel actually getting the job. How did she get the job with Mr. B, with the Baxters? And my buddies, Ron and Chuck, put some of the best music I've heard on Broadway in decades. And so they asked me, the same day that I got the call to ask if I wanted to go into Pippin was the same day they asked me to direct this. Within an hour, I got both offers. And I, you know, first I said yes to the Hazel thing, and then the Pippin thing came up. But it turned out like the universe just wanted them both to happen, because I found out I wasn't going to be doing the Los Angeles run while Andrea came in. So I booked the Hazel thing in that time frame. And then they asked me to go to Broadway, and I thought, well, I already know the show by then. I can direct during the day, and I'll go to Broadway at night, and I just won't direct on matinee days. Well, I was a new kind of exhausted at the end of the week, but it turned out so well, and the response for the Hazel reading has just been through the roof, and I think they have a real huge, humongous hit on their hands.
I've heard nothing but great things.
No, it really is. It's a winner all the way around. And it's fun. I mean, of course, it's tweaking, but they were in such good shape. We were in such good shape at the end of those 3 days. Literally, it's a 29-hour equity reading, which is exactly what it says. You have 29 hours, including the 2-plus hours for each one of the three readings. So you only have your people for like 2 days and an hour to rehearse, to learn all the music. And they're reading the books, but they're reading it like they're acting on Broadway. You know, it's not just a reading. And so it was a whirlwind. It was a little bit like being in a Cuisinart on whisk, but I enjoyed it. And I found that it's something I really seem to be pretty good at. And I would like to do this again. And now they've asked me to direct the workshop in the spring. So I'm thrilled.
I saw a quote from you about your parents once, who were, as we all called, the most popular couple in the history of television, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. You said they were happiest when they were working, and you have always been so busy. That seems to apply to you, too.
Well, yes, but luckily I waited until all my kids were grown to get this happy.
Tell me, I waited until
everybody was out of the house.
Tell me a little bit about your children. What are they doing now?
Oh, my daughter, I'll start from the bottom. My daughter will turn 30, the baby, in January, and she's an executive headhunter, as they say, a recruiter for a large recruiting firm, and her clients are Amazon.com and a couple of other ones which I don't even remember, but she loves it, lives in Seattle, has a fabulous boyfriend we all adore. My middle son, and her name is Catherine Luckinbill, and my middle son, Joe Luckinbill, is a musician with 3 CDs out there, and he teaches music, and he's opening a music school in Connecticut, and he's a record producer, engineer, you know. Why do we still say record? I still say yes. Record, even though there are no...
That's right.
Records are coming back, though. It's good. He's a sound engineer, and he's 31, and my son Simon is an artist. He paints, and he has 2 showings in Palm Springs at the moment, and he's going to be in a couple of art festivals again this year. And they're all kind of, well, not Kate. Kate has a real job, you know, and gets a paycheck every week and insurance and stuff like that. But the boys are like their mom and their dad, you know, hand to hand, like job to job, starving artists, kind of. And I have 2 stepsons, Dan and Nick, who are graphic artists and really smart guys, and another guy who's a rap track producer, believe it or not, in Los Angeles. So they're all in the arts in one sense or another, but we're all going to be together this weekend, and I can't wait to see them all.
I know with my own parents, who are also gone for many years, I often think, I wish now that I'm this age, I could talk to them about this or that. Do you think that sometimes, and what might you ask them today?
Yeah, you know, pretty much everything. I think if things were different and they were in a healthier frame of mind and they were, how old would they be, you know? And toward the end, it was a little bit harder to talk to my dad and my mom. And so, and we didn't have that kind of relationship growing up at all. So I would pretty much, if I could talk to them at all and have the kind of a relationship where we could sit down and talk and ask questions about life, and it would be unemotional and just, you know, unconditionally loving talk, that would be fantastic. I would talk about everything from pizza to politics. But, you know, we didn't have that opportunity growing up too much because they were very busy. They weren't there a lot. And I don't know what that feels like, really. I often watch parents with their kids just hanging out, you know, shooting the breeze. And I wonder what that's like because I never had that. And I work very hard with my own kids to try to find the time to just be there, not doing anything special, just be there and check in with them, even if it's 10, 15 minutes of just you and them talking about them. Just what's going on with you? How are you? You know, what's life like?
Well, and, I'm so sure that your parents would be proud of you because not only have you preserved their legacy through your produced remembrances of them, but you have left your own mark on the world as a multi-talented woman who I remember watching as a teen on The Lucy Show.
Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. It's not something you set out to do. Both my brother and I never thought that's our job. We have to preserve my mom and dad's legacy. And people say that a lot, and I go, gosh, you know, that's not at all how we think. As we go through it, stuff comes up and you find yourself having to say yes or no, or don't allow people who are trying to do things that, you know, are tacky to try to, you know, say, whoa, hang on. No. We don't want their faces on that kind of stuff. Or it's more of a, you know, a defensive strategy than an offensive. But in the process, there's been made some beautiful museums around and a whole business of merchandise because you can't kill it. I mean, people just still love the show and their performances and other films that they've made. And it's a business unto itself. It's going to exist whether I want it or Desi wants it or anything, you know. And it's a good thing because with all of the darkness in the world, thank God there is something
for sure
as joyful as an I Love Lucy show to watch, to you know, right your head again.
For sure. I was so happy to hear from you that when you're in the city, you listen to 1010 Winds. And we have been so happy to talk with you, Lucy Arnaz, today.
Oh, my God. I listened to 1010 Winds when I've lived for 37 years on the East Coast in Westchester and then in Connecticut. And I get really upset when I'm in an area where I turn my radio on as soon as I get in the car. And if 1010 is like blurry, I get very upset and I want to call the local place and say, why don't I have it on this street?
Thank you so much. That means a lot to all of us. Keep listening. Keep it locked into 1010 Winds, as we say.
That's it. I'm locked in, babe. Even in Palm Springs, I'm locked in.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
You're welcome. Thanks for talking with me.